VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 71.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have an incredible talent and friend of mine, Nadia Marshall. Nadia is a phenomenal voice actress, professional singer, and creative who has mastered the art of marketing. She has simplified and diversified the way she finds leads so she can focus more of her brain power on the creative parts of her business. And she truly is a powerhouse all in one package. In this episode, we talk about lead generation blueprint, maximizing marketing efficiency, pros and cons of Apollo.io, and building relationships using past careers.
So how are you doing today, Nadia?
I am doing well. Yeah, recovering from our opening night last night, but no, sun's shining. Can't complain.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Well, normally I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but that changed actually a little over a year ago. And okay. I prefer a cappuccino, good old fashioned, like quality.
Cappuccinos are good.
I have this little espresso maker. It's called the Bambino. And okay. I just make simple espresso. I like almond milk personally or oat milk. And then that's it. Simple and sweet.
Sugar so sweet. At one point did that change from where you weren't drinking coffee to where you were drinking coffee?
You know, I think it was my little stint of when I did teach. I was an adjunct voice teacher for about one academic year. And they didn't have many tea options in the teacher's lounge, but they did have coffee. And so I started just be like, well, I'll just drink black coffee. And I did that for a little bit, but I only had like an espresso amount. You know, I didn't have
right.
And any
the normal amount.
Yeah, exactly. The normal amount. And anytime I would go to Europe, I would get coffee because I liked how small it was compared to, you know, some of these larger ones. I'm like, I can't stomach that much. And I found that I really just enjoyed just that amount, and espresso too, because it packs a punch, but it's not too strong, and it can be very nice when you just sip on it lightly. And then I grew to be like, okay, well, how can I get espresso but like have a little bit more to it? And then I kind of was like, all right, well, let's try a cappuccino. Everyone loves cappuccinos. And then I was hooked. So I'd say I usually have a decaf though, just to be extra careful. Don't want to get too hopped up on the caffeine.
Right.
But I can get a little crazy when I have too much caffeine. So we stick with the decaf cappuccino.
Yeah, most places in Europe only give you like a shot of coffee. That's actually how the Americano was born. Because when soldiers in World War II were going up to Europe, they would order coffee and then they would get a shot of coffee. And they'd be like, what's this? And they'd be like, it's coffee. No, it's not. Well, what's coffee to you? Bigger and more watered down. So they'd get espresso shots and water them down for the American soldiers.
Crazy. Yeah, I know, because the times I've been to Italy or I've been to Austria, you know, Americano would be on the menu. And at the time, I didn't drink much coffee, but I was like, what's Americano? And then, yeah, someone explained, like, oh, yeah, it's just water with espresso. I said, oh, that's interesting. And that's the story. That's cool.
Yeah. So how did you get started in the whole voiceover industry? What's your origin story?
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting, interesting origin story. Actually, it involves opera, believe it or not. So when I was in high school, I met a woman who was in the opera chorus with me for Carmen, the opera Carmen, and she still is. She is a Brazilian voice actress, and she was the Portuguese voice for Google way back when, and things like that. And so she was very rambunctious, very funny kind of person, and we kept in touch. Then I finished my undergraduate degree, and she reached out to me. She's like, oh, how are you doing? Like, I want you to check in. And she said to me, she says, you know, I really think you should consider voiceover as another career for you. And I said, really? Like, I'm not really sure. I don't know much about it. She says, well, come on over. We'll have a chat, kind of like a coffee chat. And I'll tell you a little more about it. And she was so kind and gave me some of her old equipment and like showed me her studio and like walked me through the ropes and everything. And I mean, she kind of was a great representative of this voiceover community as a whole and how welcoming and compassionate and comforting and like, yeah, come on in. There's plenty of work for everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, Sumaira was really my first introduction to voiceover from the get-go, and then tried that for a little bit, didn't know what I was doing, and like the first couple of years, and then honestly reached out to Jamie Muffett, and he really steered me in the right
Okay.
direction. So yeah, Sumaira and Jamie would be my two people.
Gotcha. And so did you just start like immediately marketing, or did you start auditioning, or how did you start like acquiring your first jobs?
I would probably say it was, I didn't know a lick about marketing, so it was only auditioning, and it was on one pay-to-play site in particular at the time that I used a lot more. I don't use it as much now, VDC. And I was using VDC quite a bit for those first couple of years, and I was just auditioning as much as I could within my kind of skill set of what I knew I could offer, and being like, okay, I feel like that I could probably fit into that. And then seeing if there were any, jobs that I was booking, okay, why did I book that job? Or what are the descriptors for that? And oh, this one was kind of the same descriptor. So clearly I tend to book when it's maybe more relatable or more like real or whatever those descriptors were. And I kind of used that knowledge to help me kind of filter through and try to book more as the years went on. But again, I was just running blind when I was auditioning on that platform at the start.
And so, at what point did you stop auditioning on platforms and start doing your own direct marketing?
So I still use pay-to-play platforms to this day. Like I still use casting sites, but I'd say it was after I had my conversation with Jamie and he steered me in the right direction of listen to these podcasts, maybe you can upgrade this, reach out to these people for maybe demos and coaching and this kind of thing. I probably started more direct marketing after I took Mark Scott's course. So it was towards
Great
the end
course.
of 2020. I know it's gold. It really is. Towards the end of 2020, I'd say 2021 would probably be the year I began more marketing my own services outside of casting platforms.
Okay, so what led you to kind of creating the lead generation blueprint then? Like
So when I did Mark Scott's course and was purchasing all this stuff, he had these mastermind groups, that he offers as part of an additional service. When I joined a mastermind group in 2022, I had done enough of my own lead generation, but I was wanting to hire somebody else, as a contractor to then do my lead generation for me. And when I was hiring someone to do that, I thought, okay, well, I'll put together a very, very basic tutorial on here's how you can find a lead on Google. Here's how you can find a lead on LinkedIn. This is an example of a great lead. This is an example of a not so great lead. And I made this very, very basic tutorial. And then I even shared it with my mastermind people saying, oh, if you want to do that for your lead generators too, just let me know. And they all were like, Nadia, this is a course waiting to happen. And I was like, wait, what? Like, you really think so? And Mark, as loving as he is, he kind of boot to butt, he's like, yeah, this needs to be a course. And I had seen on different Facebook groups and forums, and people would ask all these lead generation questions, but no one had like one resource that would talk about it. So I was like, okay, clearly there's a need. Clearly other people think that I can do this. Like, yeah, let's do it. Let's see what happens. The worst it can be is, maybe one or two people decide to use it and that's it and that's the end of it. But hopefully it doesn't happen and more people want to use it, and so far that's been the case.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to kind of delve too much into the course because I don't want to take information away from it. But for somebody that's already doing lead generation on their own and kind of understands lead generation, how do you believe that your course can kind of help to polish their skills and like
Sure.
make them better and fine tune it?
Absolutely. I think when we are given some general information, whether it be through a conference session or some sort of workshop, when people tell us to do lead generation, they usually either focus on mainly two avenues where we use a search engine of some sort or we use LinkedIn. And again, there's nothing wrong with those and you can find great results on those. But my course likes to go a little bit deeper, dive deeper into both of those and other additional methods or ways to really maximize your search on Google. Or ways to utilize LinkedIn outside of just typing in a job title in LinkedIn and hoping for the best. And but even outside of that, whether it's really delving into social media to be able to interact with potential voice buyers, or using some unconventional methods or other tools that you can use to maximize your time, make it more efficient, even maybe when you're being more passive and you're not necessarily, let's say, by happenstance, you come across a potential lead and you didn't normally spend your 45 minutes a day, let's say, doing your lead generation that you normally do, but you want to be able to capture that information, you would have the tools to be able to do that within 2 minutes to be able to get your information. So it's more to maximize efficiency, gain confidence maybe in some other areas where you wouldn't think, oh yeah, I can find a lead that way, and really to just make you find it in the most in the quickest way possible, but also to the best of your ability, so you feel like, yeah, I'm really getting the information I need to then be able to contact this person and establish a relationship and hopefully make them a client for life.
Okay, what are some of the tools that you're using to kind of gather a large amount of leads?
So I typically like to use, I know Mark talks a lot about Hunter.io, and I do like to use
I love
Hunter.io.
Hunter.
Yeah, it's amazing, and we all use it. And Apollo.io as well. And what I love
Okay.
about those two is they can both be plugins into your browser. I use Chrome personally, but other browsers as well. And it's pretty easy to compile the information. But what's really interesting about both of those is I think people think Hunter.io, oh, I can find the email of that person. But there's actually a few more offerings that Hunter provides as a
Oh, I
service.
love their verifier. Their verifier is
Absolutely.
phenomenal. You can put a whole Excel sheet in there and it'll verify. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
exactly. And that I love Apollo kind of has very similar things, a little bit different, but very similar kind of this idea of really verifying and making sure it's all up to code and okay, I know where this email is coming from, and it's not just some random email that you're like, oh, I don't know where that's from. And you can be able to really have it right there in the palm of your hand when you need it, even when you're not actively searching. So it's kind of a nice, thing to
Okay, you're
have.
not using Apollo for lead gen, you're using it to like kind of verify the leads and stuff like that.
Oh no, you can use it for lead gen too. So if you come across, say, for some reason you're scrolling through something and you come across potentially an e-learning company and you're like, ooh, and you say, ooh, perfect. And you're trying to look for the employees, but you can't find their names. Apollo.io has a feature where you can look through the company and the employees, and they'll have a listing, right? Kind of similar to Hunter, where you can sort of see their phone number or their email if you prefer to do cold calling or cold emailing. And again, it can give you that verification so you know, okay, I know exactly where this is coming from, or it can tell you, maybe this information might be a bit outdated, but it gives you something to at least start.
Then maybe I was using it incorrectly. Because what I would use Apollo for, back when I was using Apollo, was I would use it almost as just an overall lead generation tool where it would allow you to scrape LinkedIn for a certain amount of leads. But I started running into two problems with that. One, Apollo is one of the most used lead generation AI softwares on the planet. And so every other voiceover artist that uses Apollo in that same way was running across the same leads, and those leads were just exhausted from getting tapped. And then the other issue I was running into is LinkedIn does not like to be scraped. And
No.
so if you scrape LinkedIn excessively, then they start kicking you off the platform for a couple of hours.
Yeah, and I know there've been some changes currently to the algorithm with LinkedIn, and I know some of the more LinkedIn specific experts are talking about that a lot more. But I think, hopefully we can have a way to be able to marry these different kinds of tools and get the information that we need in a nice open manner. But I do understand LinkedIn being a little more cautious about not being able to compile that data. I mean, it's understandable.
Well,
We're
I mean,
human.
the minute they start letting bots in, then all of a sudden you have a bunch of bots messaging you and you have a bunch of them spamming you, kind of like what's happening to Instagram right now, where we're getting flooded with just these spam messages because they're able to do that. So are you, do you still use an external lead generator that you kind of have use your course? And then, so whenever you have your lead generator bringing in a ton of leads, how are you going through and vetting those leads? Because that's almost as time consuming as just lead generation itself.
I mean, this person I know, I actually found him through another voice actor who we both utilize this person, and He usually puts everything into a spreadsheet for me, and then when I go in and I usually compile it into my Nimble, which I know takes a little bit of time, but it's part of the necessary evil, right? To just make sure that I can associate with who it is. I usually go in, and when I do use Nimble, it can kind of, lead me to the LinkedIn profile or lead me to this kind of thing. And then I can be able to kind of be like, okay, that was easy to compile, easy to do, email went through, okay, great, lead, we're verified. But if there are some issues, I can always leave a comment for him on the LinkedIn, or excuse me, on the spreadsheet to say, hey, this wasn't a great lead. Maybe, I'll give him a list of whatever these not so great leads were with the comments. Then we can go back and talk about it and be like, these are the reason that these ones weren't so great, because that's actually not a job title I would use, or this email bounced back, where can we find another email, or whatever the other kind of feedback would be. But usually I like to utilize a spreadsheet system. I haven't quite relinquished control for someone to go to my CRM and input the data themselves. I don't like that.
That's scary.
I'm like, I know I'm it probably is not going to be that scary, but I'm the kind of person where if I either write down the information or if I do the act of typing it out and seeing it visually, then I know who that is. I feel like if I was having somebody else input the data into my CRM without me knowing, and then that person randomly emails me, then I don't remember that thing that caught my eye about them. If they have like a bio that said that they had a dog or something, I can be like, oh yeah, that's right, you're the one with the Australian Shepherd. Okay, cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just makes that little bit of extra connection that I know it's time consuming, but it will just like refresh your mind even more and be able to have you really know, okay, I know who this lead is, or I associate the company name with their title, and then I can know who it is. So I know it's a little bit of extra work, but I don't
So you're
mind.
not sending out like email templates or anything like that.
I mean, I have a template for the most part, like, my set intro, but I usually have it pretty laid back where maybe paragraph two or paragraph three are templated, but the first paragraph is not templated, because then I individualize it for each person. Same thing with a follow-up, things like that. So I do have templates in mind, but I do like to be able to leave the first paragraph or the first like two sentences blank, so that way I can go in and make it more personalized, or tell them, oh, I came across this video, or oh, I noticed that, you went to this event the other day for Instagram, like, oh, I was just there, or whatever you want to do to make it more personalized.
So, how much time a day are you spending on emails? Because there's always that balance between trying to personalize something, but also getting in front of as many people as possible in a single day.
Right. I know that.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's really it is a balancing act, like you said. And I think sometimes I've had some people tell me they've tried to play the numbers game and they try to send it out to as many people as possible, but then they also kind of feel like when they do that, then they're not keeping it personalized. So it's kind of this like, how do I be able to get both sides of the coin? Sometimes I like to focus on if I only have 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or even like 15 minutes. If it's this crazy day, or I'm just like dreading it, dragging my feet, dredging every second. Even if I only manage to get two or three emails, but I know I really sent it to the right person, sometimes I'll still get a reply that's like, oh, thank you so much, like, you're just the person we're looking for, or thank you so much, we put your information away. I would rather send three really great emails than force myself to like sit down and get, I don't know, 50 done or something and feel like I'm just so exhausted that I don't ever want to touch email marketing again. I would rather be consistent, even if it's to a small degree, than attempt to just beat myself to death with it and then not actually feel like I'm doing anything. So maybe that's a little bit of a holistic approach to it, but I'd rather have some sort of consistency, even if it's at a tiny level, than trying to overwork it and make it something that I know I won't be so burnt out.
Right. Okay. So how are you finding those points of connection? Because I mean, you used to be a marketing assistant, correct? So like, does anything from sitting in that chair, does that help you to kind of like relate with people in that same position? Like, how are you understanding the value adds when you're reaching out to potential clients?
I think it depends on person to person. I mean, if I were in their shoes and I received an email of, a kind of email that a voice actor would send, what is going to make me think, oh, okay, yeah, I'd want to be able to read that, or oh, that person really took their time to get to know my company, get to know my work. Yeah, I want to collaborate with them. Like, what would I be interested in reading? And then from there, kind of, since I put myself in their shoes, bring myself back to myself and be like, okay, let's keep it short and sweet. No need to go fluff it up for reasons. I like to keep things concise myself, but I know some other people might be a little bit different, but I want to keep things to the point. Regardless if maybe I did send them an email, they don't reply back, you've done several emails in the past, but then maybe I go to LinkedIn, I try to reach out to them on LinkedIn, or I try a little bit of Instagram, whatever you have to do to kind of let them know, hey, I really liked your work. If they haven't necessarily said, oh, I want to unsubscribe for all of your emails, like leave me alone,
Yeah.
it's not a no.
Oh yeah, no, I don't take silence as a no. Absolutely
Yeah,
not.
no, it's just a not yet, and that's totally fine. And you never know when they have filed away your demos and they're gonna bring them out and be like, actually, you're just what the client wants, and it's 3 years later, and you're like,
Right.
ooh, I thought you forgot that I existed. Things sometimes aren't necessarily in alignment at that right time, and you just kind of have to wait for it to get into alignment, and then it's perfect, ready to go.
So, what different industries are you personally marketing to right now?
I would say I'm trying to actually build a little more in the, believe it or not, in the composer sector. So I'm trying to reach out to
Okay.
more like video game composers, animation composers, because I sing, so
Yeah.
I want to be like, hi, I'd love to collaborate. And as well as e-learning, it's such great, consistent work. And I do enjoy it because I feel like I'm learning something, and that's kind of a nice benefit. And a little bit as well with medical narration too. I mean, obviously commercial, yes, but I do enjoy medical narration because, again, it's consistent work, and it is, you feel smart when you do it, even if you
That's
have a
true.
doctor's degree. And the few jobs I have had that were in medical narration, I enjoy it so much. And I'm trying to grow those sections of my business a little more, that I'd probably say specifically right now would be composers and e-learning, most of the ones I'm sending.
Okay, what have you seen the kind of highest rate of success over the past couple of months?
I would probably say it's a combination of keeping them informed when it comes to, hey, like when I sent my initial email that I was going to be down in here in Florida. I'm in Florida at the moment, compared to my home studio in Columbus, Ohio, that I'm going to be singing in an opera, just to let you know I have my travel gear with me, whatever, when you let them know your travel notice or vacation notice, right? You get a bunch of work. But when I told them that, oh, I'm going to be in this opera, a lot of them reply back to me, usually with the, oh, thanks for letting us know. Or they say, oh my gosh, I didn't even know this was an opera. Can you tell me more? Like the fact that you make it a little more of like getting to know you, letting them realize there's other things about you outside of voiceover. Like, that's what we all really love, is that kind of little side of connection. So when I can utilize that in, let's say, Instagram or LinkedIn, but I can kind of put that same sort of flavor even in an email, when it's a mass email like that, I can still get more response than I would if it's just purely templated. So I don't know. I like being able to let people know, hey, I'm traveling, or hey, I'm doing this opera. Let me know if you want to see a clip from rehearsal or a picture of a palm tree because it's cold, or whatever. I make some sort of a joke. And a lot of them respond back and they're like, yes, actually, I would love to see a rehearsal video, or yeah, send me a picture of you in costume, or that kind of fun stuff. So I love being able to tell them, next steps, or hey, it's been today's World Voice Day. Like, did you know about World Voice Day? And blah, blah, blah. Then they kind of feel like they've received something more personal that I was thinking about them, even if something else is going on, or they can feel that they've learned something, whatever it is. So I like those personally. Those have been my more successful stuff in the last couple of months compared to, say, just a plain old email marketing introductory email or a follow-up email.
So what is your, I mean, I know it varies drastically, but like, what does your average day generally look like with you balancing so many different hats?
Oh goodness. Yeah, I know. What is a typical schedule for voice
Right.
actors? It doesn't exist, even if you try to make one.
I mean, yeah, but everybody's got like routine, I guess you could say.
Right. I would say I like to get my auditions done in the morning. So whether I've, done a workout in the morning, or if I haven't, if it's like a rest day or something, I like to get my auditions done first thing in the morning, because especially if maybe it comes from an agent, even if they are a West Coast or an East Coast, I want to get there as early as I can. So I like to get that boom out of the way done. Then once I'm done with auditions, then I'll kind of think, okay, are there any emails I need to answer? Are there any like replies I need to make sure about? And then maybe in between there, I'll like peek on LinkedIn. All right, anything new? Oh yeah, let's kind of look at some recent posts from prospects, leads, or clients, and comment on a few, but not for too long. I know I can go down the rabbit hole if I'm not careful. So I'm like, okay, you're limited. You're limited to a certain time. Then from there, I might go back and check, see if there are any other auditions that come up, maybe on some casting sites that, might randomly pop up later in the day, or if I received an email about it. Then I'll go through and think, okay, whether I check my CRM, do I need to follow up with anybody, whether it be on social media if I made a task for myself, or did I send an email from before that I need to follow up? Sometimes I think we're so focused on sending the introductory email that we forget about the follow-up. But there's some days where I'm like, I think we need to focus on the follow-up a little bit more than trying to get someone brand new. So I really try to make sure, okay, let's get those follow-ups done. And then when I'm in that still that same flow, then I'll be like, okay, well, let's do a few introductory ones. And if I have extra time later, I'll do more introductory ones. But I really want to make sure that I don't forget the follow-up, because I used to be so much more about intro emails that I would forget to follow up. And I'm like, oh, well, ugh, the that's how you get the work, is through the follow-up. So I need to be more consistent about following up.
So
And then,
how are you following up without just saying, hey, just wanted to check and see if you got my most recent email. Did you check out my demos yet? Like
right. I mean, sometimes, yes, it is. Those are the emails you send. Or if I know that it's been a while, I might even just do a pretty basic check-in. Like, hey, I know we recorded a job together back in October. It's been a little bit. How are things? Just a pretty general. And whatever. And if they do respond, great. And if they don't, that's okay. Like, just letting them know, hey, you exist in my book. Or if it's the same task and I'm like, well, they did just get that email about me coming down to Florida. I don't want to bombard them with emails. Let's try a LinkedIn, or let's try an Instagram. Let's try, some other kind of platform, and I'll go that way. Because I know sometimes if I have too many emails from the same person, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold it, like you're kind of sending too much. You're getting a little keyboard happy. We gotta take it back a notch. So I want to see, okay, maybe I can find a way to do it via social media, so it's a little more, bless you, a little more casual, a little less, yeah, I'm coming for you.
Right. Fantastic. Okay, and so the rest of your day. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine.
Follow-up emails.
I don't know. Then I feel like if I have the energy, then I'm a good student. Then I'll practice my voice stuff, like my singing. I'll practice my singing, but sometimes that falls on the back burner. Then I'll make sure that if there's anything I need to update, be it if I have to update something on, my website or on these casting sites or anything like that, that I'm like, oh, this needs to be updated, or oh, I really need to make sure that this is more accurate or current and up to date, then I'll check on those. And then I don't know, I usually try to like to clock things out unless I have a scheduled session that's later in the day. I usually like to be done by like 5:30 or 6, just so that I give my brain that like separation of work and personal. But I mean, I try, obviously every day is different, and there might be some days when you're, booked and blessed and you have so many sessions that it's just like, oh, I don't have to worry about this right now. But I'd say, most days it's gonna be a little bit of, oh, maybe content creation too. If I'm in a creative mood, I might do a little bit of content creation as well, like do something in batches, get that done, sent out, and do that.
Okay, and you said you use social media. Are you using social media to find new leads? Are you connecting with them directly on social media, or are you using that just to kind of pull information?
I would say I do use social media to find leads, but I usually like to use it as a way to connect with them and keep them kind of informed with what I'm up to or what they're up to on a little more of a casual level. So if I know that we've worked together or we are interested in working together, but we're not working together yet, then I like to add them on maybe one or two social media sites, see which one they prefer to use. And then just, maybe once in a while, if they post something on Instagram story, like or react, maybe they post a little bit of their work, leave a little comment once in a while, but keep things really casual that they kind of see, oh yeah, that girl commented on my post, oh, right, that's right. Oh, that's the one, that's the voice actor who sent me that. Okay, cool. I didn't know that she likes to go to tango 3 times a week. That's cool. Like whatever. It just makes them see you in a different light, that you're a real person, not just a name on an email that was sent to them, the last 3 times. So I like it more in a casual kind of let's stay connected. So it kind of gives me a little more of a personality outside of just an email, because there's only so much you can do with the written word.
Gotcha. So if you were to write yourself a letter and send it back to like before you had met Jamie, before you had like found out about this whole voiceover, when you were first learning about the voiceover world, what would you go tell your past self?
Ooh, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Okay, I would probably say there are other ways that you can utilize your voice. There are other ways that you can appease your inner child and have the fun and imagination that you crave. And there are ways that you can surprise yourself with how much you're capable of being able to do. Like, I know you experienced this as well. Maybe let's say you're in an animation session, a video game session, or something. Maybe it's the creative director or the voice director that you're working with, whatever, whoever it is. They ask you to do something, maybe it's on the fly, or maybe they ask you to, listen to a reference file, try to kind of get the vibe or the tone. And do it in your own, with your own spin on things and with your own voice. And then you finish it. Maybe you send it out, or maybe you kind of take a second and you think, did I just do that? Like, that is
Right. Did that come out of my layer?
I love those moments because it's like we I don't know, maybe when we reach puberty or something, we kind of dismiss this idea of allowing ourselves to be that silly without caring anymore.
Oh,
And
I'm a
that's when we
dad. I make silly voices with my kids all
Yeah, that's kind of
day.
it. And again, I mean, unless you're in an improv space, you allow yourself to be in theater or you allow yourself to be in that kind of environment, we forget that. And I mean, I'm glad that at least I still play around with like theater and opera and, whatever music and things to kind of let me have that. But even outside of that, yeah, you're in your own closet, you're by yourself, there's no one there to judge you. You can just go off the rails and kind of surprise yourself with, oh, I can play a maniacal person in an insane asylum and get away with it, and that's great, you know, or whatever it is. And you can really surprise yourself with what you're capable of doing. So yeah, I'd say those three things. Just believe that you can do all those things, because you just need permission to do it. And maybe society makes you think that you don't have permission to do it when you truly do, and you can make a living doing that.
It's crazy, especially first getting into this industry, how much we think about the approval of people who aren't even watching us.
That is so true. Yes.
It's crazy. So where can people find you and where can people find the blueprint?
So people can find me on social media. All of my social media platforms use at Voices by Nadia. You can find me there. And that's also my voiceover website, voicesbynadia.com. And for the lead generation blueprint, you can go to blueprintcourseware.com and you can go and scroll through. I even have a couple of freebies for you in there if you want to download a freebie to kind of see if some of these
The
methods
freebies
work
are
for you.
great. They're so
Freebies are
great.
great,
They're
people.
so
We
great.
love a freebie. Anything, free coffee, freebie, we love it.
Right.
So, but yes, blueprintcourseware.com is that website.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is a blast.
Of course. Thank you, Andrew.
I really hope you enjoyed Nadia's perspective on utilizing all the tools she can to keep her focus on relationship building while growing her business and her unique insights on VO marketing. If you would like a peek into her work as a talent, you can visit voicesbynadia.com. And if you'd like to check out the Blueprint course, because, I mean, of course you would, www.blueprintcourseware.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.